Tears ran down Kaylin's face. She didn't have the strength to push him off her. She could hardly breathe under his weight. And so she lay still, feeling his blood drain over her hand between her breasts and soak into her shirt. The tingling of the poison had risen up her neck. Chapter 47. In the tingling blackness, her lip hurt. Something was jabbing against the cut, making it throb. Something was in her mouth. She thought it felt like a finger poking into her mouth.
Swallow!
Kaylin frowned in the darkness, in her sleep.
Swallow! Do you hear me? Swallow!
Making a sour face, she did as commanded. The finger pushed more of the dry things into her mouth.
Swallow again!
She swallowed, hoping the voice would leave her alone now. It did. She sank back down into the tingling void. She drifted in the nowhere place. Unaware, she had no concept of time, no idea how long she floated. With a gasp, her eyes opened. She blinked around at her shelter. The candles were burned halfway down. Her fur mantle was covering her. Chandelin leaned over, peering down at her. A broad smile spread on his lips. He let out a long sigh of relief.
You are back, he said. You are safe now.
Chandelin?
She tried to make sense of what she was seeing.
Am I in the underworld? Or are you not dead?
He laughed quietly.
Chandelin is hard to kill.
She worked her tongue, trying to wet her dry mouth. She was awake. Really awake for the first time in as long as she could remember. It seemed she had forgotten what it was like to be awake, how vibrant it felt. Still, she did not move, afraid the blackness would return.
But Prindon shot you with a 10-step arrow. I saw it.
He turned a bit, looking away in chagrin. She could see that his black hair was matted with dried blood. He flipped his hand, as if uneasy that he had to explain.
Remember, I told you that our ancestors took Kwasindo before they went into battle, so that if they were shot with a 10-step arrow, the poison would not kill them?
She nodded. He tenderly tested his wounded scalp.
Well, in honor of my ancestors, my warrior ancestors, I ate some of the Kwasindo leaves before I went to fight. The Kwasindo you gave to me back at that city.
His eyebrows lifted as if further justification was needed.
It was to honor my ancestors.
Kaylin smiled warmly to him as she put a hand to his arm.
You have done your ancestors proud.
He helped her sit up. In the dim light, she saw that Prindon lay next to her on his back. The bone knife made from Chandelin's grandfather's bones, the one she had worn at her arm, jutted from Prindon's chest. The black feathers fanned out around the hilt and draped like a shroud over the fatal wound. Somehow, she had managed to put that knife between them when Prindon had leaped on her. Somehow. She remembered her numb, helpless plight. She remembered the tingling feeling of the poison, and that she couldn't move. She remembered her terror. She remembered Prindon's leap onto her. But she didn't remember pulling the knife. Her voice trembled.
I'm so sorry, Chandelin.
Her fingers covered her mouth.
I'm so sorry that I killed your friend.
Chandelin glared at the body.
He was not my friend. My friends do not try to kill me.
He put a comforting hand to her shoulder.
He was sent by the great dark spirit of the dead. His heart was taken by evil.
Kaylin clutched his sleeve.
Chandelin. That great dark spirit of the dead is trying to escape from behind the veil. He wants to pull us all behind the veil, into the world of the dead.
His brown eyes studied her.
I believe you. We must get you to Adendril so you may help stop him.
She sagged with relief.
Thank you, Chandelin. Thank you for understanding, and for saving me with the Kwasindo.
Kaylin clutched his arm.
The men! Prindon set a trap for them. What time is it?
He made a comforting, hushing sound.
Oh, when Captain Ryan came to Tossadin and me before the attack, I asked where you were. I knew you would want to be with them. He told me that you were sick, that you could not wake. It sounded to me like Bandhu. Captain Ryan said you would not eat and would have only tea Prindon made for you. I knew then what was happening. I knew you had been poisoned, and the only thing you had was tea. Tossadin and I were greatly worried for you. We checked to see if the enemy had changed position. We saw that they were waiting for the attack where we had planned it at first. I made the men change the attack and come from a different place than expected. As soon as I gave the new orders, we rushed back here. I knew Prindon had betrayed us, but Tossadin thought there must be some other explanation. He trusted his brother and did not want to think evil of him. He paid for his trust, his mistake, with his life.
Kaelin looked away in the uneasy quiet. She frowned back at him. What of the arrow? What of the wound on your head? We must see to your wounds.
Shondalin pulled the neck of his buckskin shirt to the side, revealing a bandage over his left shoulder.
The men returned in the night. They stitched my head. It is not as bad as it looks. They also took out the arrow.
He winced as he pulled the shirt back up on his shoulder.
I taught Prindon well. He used a bladed arrow. Bladed arrows do more harm coming out than going in. One of the men, the one who cuts and sews the wounded, cut out the arrow and stitched me together. The arrow hit the bone, so it did not go in too far. My arm is stiff, and I will not be able to use it for a time.
Kaelin felt her leg. There was a bandage under her pants. Did he stitch my leg, too?
No. It did not need sewing just to be wrapped. I did that. Prindon used a round point on you. That is not like I taught him. I don't know why he would do that.
Kaelin could feel the presence of the body next to her. He wanted to be able to get it out of me after he shot me with poison, she said quietly. He wanted it out of his way. He was going to rape me before he gave me to the enemy.
Shondalin watched the body, not wanting to look at her, and said he was glad that had not happened. She touched his left hand.
And I'm glad it was your shoulder and not your throat.
He frowned.
I taught Prindon how to shoot. He would never miss my throat from that distance. Why did he not shoot my throat?
She shrugged, feigning ignorance. He grunted suspiciously.
Shondalin, why is his body still in here? Why didn't you drag him out?
He moved his wounded arm a bit with his other, making it more comfortable.
Because Grandfather's spirit knife is still in him.
He regarded her with a serious expression. You have used the aid of Grandfather's bones, his spirit, to protect yourself, to take another life. Grandfather's spirit is bonded to you now. No other may touch his bone knife now. It is yours, and only you may touch it. You must remove it. Kaelin momentarily contemplated whether or not she could just leave the knife where it was and bury it with the body. She thought maybe the bone knife should be put to rest, too. But she discarded the thought. To the mud people, this was powerful spirit magic. She would insult Shondalin if she rejected the knife. She thought, too, that maybe she would be insulting the spirit of Shondalin's grandfather if she didn't take back the knife. She wasn't entirely sure that it wasn't the spirit in the bone knife that had killed Prindon to save her. She didn't know how the knife had gotten into her hand. Kaelin reached out and wrapped her fingers around the round end protruding from Prindon's chest. It made a sucking sound as she pulled it from the body. She wiped it clean on the balsam boughs covering the floor. Kaelin brought the round end to her lips and kissed it lightly.
Thank you, Spirit Grandfather, for saving my life.
Somehow it seemed the right thing to do. Shondalin smiled as she slid the bone knife into the band on her arm.
You are a good mud person. You knew what to do without me telling you. Grandfather's spirit will watch over you always.
Shondalin, we must get to Aidendrill. The veil to the underground is torn. We've done what we must to help these men. I must do my job now.
When we first found these men, I did not want to stay with them. I wanted to be away from their fight so that you would be safe.
He stared off at nothing.
Somehow, I forgot that thought, and all I wanted to do was fight and kill the enemy.
I know, she whispered. That happened to me, too. I forgot all about what I was supposed to be doing. It's almost as if we, too, listen to the great dark spirit. The veil is torn. Maybe that's why we were distracted.
You think that this veil is torn? And because of that, we forget what we were to do and wanted only to kill?
Chandelin, I don't know the answers to these things. I must get to Aidendrill. The wizard will know what to do. Richard needs help. We have taken enough time here. We must not waste any more. We must talk to the men and then be on our way. Are they out there? He nodded. Then let's get going.
She started to rise, but he put his good hand to her arm and stopped her.
They have been waiting outside your shelter all night. I would not let them come inside.
He took his hand back as he seemed to search for the right words.
I feared greatly that you would die this night. I didn't know if I had given you the Kwasindo in time. Prindon had been giving you poison without our knowing it for a long time. You almost went to the spirit world.
If you had died, I would never be able to return to my people again.
But that is not why I am glad you live. I am glad because you are a good mud person. You are a protector to our people, the same as Chandelin. We each fight in our own way.
He lifted an eyebrow.
Lately, you have been fighting too much like Chandelin fight. You are good at it, but you should leave that to me and fight in the way you are meant to fight.
Kaelin smiled. You're right. Thank you for sitting with me all night. It was good to have you near. I'm sorry you were hurt.
He shrugged. Someday, when I find a woman for myself, I will have scars to show her, so she may see how brave Chandelin is.
Kaelin laughed. I'm sure she will be impressed with your bravery when you were shot with an arrow.
Chandelin gave her a crooked look. It does not prove I was brave because I was shot with an arrow. Anyone can be shot.
He lifted his chin.
I am brave because I did not cry out when the arrow was cut from me.